Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Also podcastable in your iTunes. You can subscribe to listen to the show in your iTunes every week, or you can listen on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. I'm Brett Amundson. Coming up, we'll talk to Joe Henry. He's got a Lake of the Woods fishing report. Plus, we'll talk about ice conditions right now on Lake of the Woods and just some safety precautions for early ice, things you should do, things you should be careful about, and just some helpful tips no matter where you're going to fish when it comes to early ice. Also, we'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters to find out what the waterfowl migration is like right now. First, though, we're going to start with Jamie Dittman, Brainerd area fishing guide and Montana elk hunter. And we're supposed to be in Montana hunting muleys right now, right, Jamie?
Yep, I'm supposed to be.
or answering the phone right now. That's all right. So you're not, I don't know if you want to talk about this on the air or not, Jamie, but you're not in Montana and you're supposed to be.
Well, yeah, we kind of could because it does have something to do with hunting when you go somewhere like Montana by yourself or deer camp by yourself. You should probably always have a safety plan.
Yeah, so you're up in northern Minnesota at your cabin, which is it's a great cabin. I've had a great time up there, but you know, you live fairly primitive when you go up there.
Yeah, generator power and, you know, just back in the sticks, a typical deer camp.
Sure.
And last Tuesday, went out hunting, saw a few does and fawns as I did every night up there this year, and went back to the cabin and had a little dinner and settled down to watch the news and started to get a side ache.
Uh-oh.
Well, I know when I get a side ache that it's kidney stone.
Yikes.
So I called my wife and told her I was going to the emergency room and I was fine, and went to the emergency room and apparently I was wrong. Apparently it was a kidney stone in each kidney.
Oh.
So being no kidneys worked, I ended up after a 90-mile ambulance ride in Fargo.
See, so you had to ride an ambulance to Fargo, and 90 miles? Holy smokes. I've taken an ambulance in Fargo. I took the ambulance 2 miles in Fargo one time. It cost me $850. I can't imagine what a 90-mile ride cost you.
Now, plus the morphine to boot. I don't know.
Well, morphine I'll pay for. That.
Right.
Okay, so a 90-mile ambulance ride to Fargo.
Yep, and I don't remember a lot in between all the stuff, but when I woke up, my wife was there, and my mom, and they ended up putting tubes in so my kidneys could work, and tomorrow I go in to have the kidney stone surgery and have my tubes removed.
Holy smokes. Well, good luck with the surgery, and glad you made it through that ambulance ride and got your kidneys working again. That's crazy.
Well, and kind of the key was, too, you know, I knew what was coming. I knew that it gets bad and, you know, stuff. So, you know, leave when you can.
I'll tell you what, man, that's one of those things when you go, like, say when I go up to when we went up to Tazan Lake, you're on an island out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're a 2-hour plane ride from anywhere. And you worry about that stuff a little bit. Or if you go out in the mountains of Montana or even up back in the woods in northern Minnesota, you know, I've got my dad's cousin who's got a little cabin like that way back in the woods. I mean, you're hours back in the woods, you're miles from nowhere. And, and he's a little bit older. I always worry about that. You know, what happens when something goes wrong and when you're way out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
So that's, I'm glad things seem to be going better for you. And, it's too bad you're not out in Montana. I didn't realize you had a muley tag this year too.
Yep. Still got that. So,
because earlier this year you shot your first bull elk out there. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
So, hunting right now, of course, I wanted to talk to you about fishing because you're in that Brainerd Lakes area. Have you heard anything about ice conditions in central Minnesota or the fish biting? What have you heard out there?
Nothing really safe yet. There's a few spots with 3-4 inches, but after that warm up, you know, Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was, when it hit 40, 50 degrees, you know, it kind of glossed everything over and you can't tell good ice from bad ice. So I would still stay, wait till after the weekend.
Yeah, what kind, you know, some guys like to go out there when it's 2 inches, 3 inches. Where is the ice thickness threshold for you, Jamie?
Well, as I get older, it gets thicker. So now it's probably a good 4 to 5.
Sure.
You know, I've been on Superior on 3, but
yikes.
That was, you know, years ago, 2 years ago when I was young and crazy.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. Before the ambulance ride to Fargo.
Right.
So let's talk.
But no, a good 4 or 5 of good ice, you know, as long as it's not all broken up. And it always seems thinner when you're standing on it, too. You know, you absolutely look great through it.
Oof-ta. Well, especially when you're on like Superior, when it was just a couple of inches, because you're in what, 60 to 80 feet of crystal clear water?
Yeah, it was, yeah, 100 and some feet. I think we were about a mile out.
Holy smokes. And didn't you say when you went there that, because that was one of the first times in X number of years, 10 years or whatever, that the Lake Superior had frozen on the Minnesota side, right?
Yep.
And you went out there fishing for lake trout?
Yep, we went right out of Duluth. Right off the shoreline break, there was guys fishing for cohos and salmon. And if you go, they were out in like 30, 40 feet of water. And out when you get 80 to 100 and some feet, that's where they were fishing for lake trout. So that's where we went.
And you went out there, what, 2 days, right? And the second day, the ice, it was open water where you were standing the day before?
No, we went out that year. We went out and it was, you could see the open water and the icebreaker boat drove by and all that. And we caught fish and my buddies were a little further north of me and that ice broke away.
Okay. Yikes. 100 feet of water. Whoa. Whew. Talking to Jamie Dittman here on Sporting Journal Radio. Hunting, fishing, and getting some ice conditions reports right now too. And you said you were hunting up in northern Minnesota. You got a cabin in northern Minnesota. I haven't talked to you since the deer. I don't know if I've talked to you since the deer season opened. How was your deer season, Jamie?
It was, you know, I definitely do not think the DNR was right on all the bonus tags and everything. All of my buddies up there, different deer camps I stopped by and talked to, was definitely down from the past 3 years. A few does and fawns, a couple small bucks, and, you know, us, along with all them, have nice chunks, you know, 200 to 500 acres of private land, and nobody was seeing much for deer.
Well, it's interesting because I've talked to a lot of people who have seen a lot of deer this year, and I don't know if it was just me or something was weird this year, but it seemed like during the bow season, before the gun season, that there weren't a whole lot of deer getting shot. There weren't a lot of big bucks getting shot. But since the gun season opened, I've seen a lot of big bucks get shot in Minnesota.
Yeah, and you know what? It seemed like, say, after Tuesday, the bucks started to move a little more. We started to lose that moon. And I don't know if the rut kicked a little more or something, but you definitely saw more nicer bucks after the season was gone.
Well, was that right after a snow? Did we get a storm or a snowfall or some colder weather right around that time too?
Yeah, that cold hit, that you know, below zero hit, I think Wednesday, and then they really started to move, and another little fresh blanket of snow. And
so you didn't shoot it. So okay, let me ask you this question first. Your wife didn't shoot a bigger deer than you again this year?
My wife did not shoot a bigger deer than me this year. No.
Did either one of you guys get your deer?
Nope. All we saw is does and fawns. For our group, I think there's an 8 and a 10 shot. And one of the kids got a doe. But that was always seen a couple, you know, a couple guys seen little bucks, maybe a spike or a 6. And we saw a few does and fawns every day. That was it.
Well, thankfully, you've got freezers full of elk right now.
Right.
But I haven't even bought my tag yet. I still plan on doing some bow hunting yet this year. So I haven't even started deer hunting. I got to wait for the ducks to leave, and then I'll get out there and do some deer hunting. But so, you know, Minnesota is such a hard state to manage for deer. I'm not going to fault the DNR necessarily for the way that the deer hunting goes, because when you've got such a variety of landscapes out there and so many other factors, whether it's weather, whether it's wolves, bear, hunters, car crashes, whatever it is, it's a lot to have to deal with. So in your area, which is, where are you out there? Kind of northwestern, north central Minnesota?
Yep. Just by south of Bemidji area.
Okay. So what would you attribute? Do you think it's predators?
There was a lot of wolves just east of us that guys were seeing 2-3 miles. We had a lot of coyotes. basically in between mine and Tammy's deer stand, even we found at least one dead deer. And then the neighbors shot one, and there's hour later, there was coyotes at the gut pile in the middle of the day.
Really?
You know, I wouldn't say it was a horrible year deer hunting, but it was definitely, I don't think it was validated to have extra bonus tags. I'm going to say it was down from the past 3 years.
So your zone had extra bonus tags this year?
Yep.
Okay.
And it just didn't, you know, there wasn't many shots, and I know, you know, we're pickier than average. I don't care about shooting a small deer to put in the freezer. I'm there to get something worth it, I think, you know. But a lot of the people that come up just want to get a deer, sure, whatever makes them happy. And there just wasn't a lot of shots.
Hmm. That's interesting. Well,
but it was still, you know, up from the bad years, and we saw deer, so.
Sure. Sure. All right. Well, we got Jamie Dimon here on with us here on Sporting Journal Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have more with Jamie coming up. We'll talk a little bit more about early ice fishing and what kind of winter we might have coming up next on Sporting Journal Radio. Plus Joe Henry, we'll talk early ice and Lake of the Woods. And Tony Crotty's got a waterfowl migration report coming up. We'll go in the truck coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Almost 30 stations strong across Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and Iowa. Also, you can listen online, sportingjournalradio.com, or subscribe and podcast us through iTunes. Coming up, Joe Henry's got a Lake of the Woods fishing report. We'll also find out some early ice safety tips with Joe coming up that are applicable anywhere you want to go ice fishing. We'll also have Tony Crotty in the truck with a waterfowl migration report. Right now we're talking to Jamie Dimon from the Brainerd Lakes area in central Minnesota. He's a fishing guide there. He also likes to hunt. He shot a big, nice bull elk in Montana this year and also spent 90 miles in an ambulance going to Fargo. Glad to hear you're doing all right, Jamie.
Oh, yeah. We'll be ready for maybe a little Montana mule deer hunting next week and get on to ice fishing.
Well, and I want to talk ice fishing here in a second, too, but I know you like to waterfowl hunt. You don't get a chance to do it as much as you used to anymore, but I got to tell you what happened to me on Thursday is when we went out. And my grandpa, who is an avid waterfowl hunter, was born in Saskatchewan, used to hunt ducks in Saskatchewan and Manitoba and Minnesota. His parents, my great grandparents, homesteaded in the Warren Alvarado area. And then they also moved back and forth from Norquay, Saskatchewan to Warren Alvarado there, back and forth. My grandpa bounced back and forth and waterfowl hunted in all those areas. But they never really shot, especially here in Minnesota. Growing up in Minnesota, he never shot Canada geese because back then,
nope. There
weren't Canada geese really around. There was a small population in Rochester. There was a small population in Hutchinson. Everybody knows the story for the most part about the Canada goose here in Minnesota. Now we got 300 some thousand of them. They're everywhere. And we shoot tons of them. But he had two Model 12 shotguns. My uncle, one of his sons, got his primary Model 12, his favorite gun that he had. He had a backup Model 12 that my brother inherited, and I was always jealous. I inherited my father's 30-06 Remington 700, which I'm very happy with, but I was always jealous of that Model 12. And a couple of years ago, my brother took it out and wanted to hunt with it. And my brother hasn't shot a whole lot of Canada geese, and he shot a Canada goose with that Model 12. And he was just really happy. And I'll be honest, I was pretty jealous of that as well. And I kept telling him about it. And this year he said, here's the Model 12. Why don't you use it this fall sometime and see what you can shoot with it? So I finally had the chance to break it out. You know, the duck season's almost over. Goose season is getting late, but here in Western Minnesota, I'll tell you what, the Lac Parle Refuge, this is the most birds we've seen on it in a number of years. They're talking 90,000 mallards on the refuge right now, maybe 40,000 Canada geese, something like that. I know it's not the 150,000 Canada geese that used to stage here at Lac Parle, but there's a lot of birds around right now. So
that's only because I didn't duck hunt this year. That's the only reason.
Yeah, right. So a friend of ours out here, Pete Anderson, invited us out to myself and Tony Crotty out to hunt. He's got a pit near the refuge. And so I said, you know what? This is going to be a good day to break out the old Model 12. And a single goose came in, and both Tony and I shot at it. We both hit it. It went down, and I finally got a chance to use the Model 12, and the first shot I took with it knocked down a Canada goose. So I was pretty excited about that. It was a pretty cool moment. You know, waterfowl hunting, there's so much about it that includes traditions and history and adventures and moments like this. It's not always about shooting limits. But, Jamie, I'll tell you what, it was pretty cool shooting that goose with my grandpa's Model 12 shotgun.
Well, I might have to challenge you sometime because I got my dad's old gun, but it's a gem.
Oh,
the
20 really?
Gauge bolt action.
Oh, yes. Yes. That a bolt action shotgun. I've always wanted to shoot one of those. That's awesome.
Yep. I got that. And I remember taking that grouse hunting when I was a kid with a big old long barrel. And actually, it's a Marlin, and Marlin made the same thing in a 10 gauge. It was called like the Super Goose. And it had like a 32 or 36 inch barrel.
Oh, geez. Yeah, this one's got a 30 inch barrel, which I thought was pretty long too. But
Before we had the good choke systems.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's how they had to choke them.
Long barrels and a full standard factory full choke in this Model 12 too. So
yeah, I can just imagine laying in the goose blind with the old bolt.
Well, that, you know, these guys out here, some friends of mine, Tony and those guys, they always do an old school hunt every year.
Yep.
They hunt over like old goose magnum shells, and they all break out their old pump shotguns. They'll break out Big River flute goose calls and just do an old school waterfowl hunt with old gear from the past. And that's
Whether it's goose hunting or deer hunting, the neighbors kid shot a doe right in front of my stand on that Sunday, and I went over there to congratulate him and see what they shot. And you know, he had his grandpa's old 30-30,
nice
bolt action. You know, just imagine the things those old guns have seen.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, I had a 30-30 bolt when I was growing up.
Yeah,
and I always wanted the lever action like the cowboys had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was so disappointed I had a bolt, you know, even though they were more accurate and everything. I always wanted the lever like the cowboys had because you could shoot like 20 deer with one of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, that was the first deer I shot. My brother's got a 30-30 Marlin lever action, and that was the first deer I ever shot was with that gun. And those are fun guns.
Yeah, because with those, you know, you can hip shoot. You can do anything, just like the cowboys did.
That's right. Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff right now. I wanted to talk ice fishing with you because you're in the Brainerd Lakes area. You're a fishing guide up there. And, you know, we're going to talk to Joe Henry about Lake of the Woods. I talked to Joe last week. They had 4.5 inches in some area. You hear reports about, say, Red Lake having 4 inches. When we were in South Dakota last week, just sloughs froze over with 2 inches overnight. So guys are getting excited about ice fishing. Then we had some warmer weather. Some guys have had to get rescued on different lakes here and there. And I don't know. I, as much as I want to go fishing, it's just still a little early for me, Jamie.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's going to take me a week to get all my stuff organized anyway. And we have all the ice shows coming up, so we'll be busy working at them. And there's a lot of cool new products for ice fishing this year, too, coming out. So Get some new stuff rigged up and ready to go.
Can you give us a little sneak peek of some of the new products that might be coming out?
Well, we have one that's I'm really excited about, the new Strikemaster 40-volt lithium auger.
Mm.
Comes with two batteries, and they're saying an average of 70 holes per battery.
Holy smokes.
So last year I had the 50-volt with two batteries, and I never used an extra battery. But with this one even comes with the extra battery, which are expensive, so that should be really cool. They're finally getting to a point now where electric is something you can take out and drill all day with.
Yeah, because everybody worries. I mean, people worry about those batteries getting cold has always been the knock that I've heard.
Yep. And now even the new, they came out with the new, Markham came out with the new lithium shuttle for your locator. You can either buy it with a locator on it, one of the Markham series, or just buy the shuttle and put your locator on it. But it's got a built-in lithium battery, a USB plug-in for your phone, a light, and they're talking 40 hours of runtime for your locator.
Really?
So, you know, you can go to Lake of the Woods for the weekend and not have to bring everything with or worry about your battery going dead.
The lithium batteries, that's the way to go nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, everything's lithium. You know, it's lighter, and they keep getting better and better every year. Between those two things, you know, it's stuff now where you don't have to worry about spilling gas and carrying extra batteries. And
well, that's great. And you're going to be working some of these ice fishing shows coming up with these products?
We'll be at the St. Paul Ice Show. The Blaine Ice Show is this weekend. I had to bail out of that one. And we'll be doing some stuff at Shields here and there throughout Minnesota, North Dakota, and different Reed stores and kind of all over the next month. So.
Well, very good. Jamie Dittman, I appreciate the time here on the radio show. Glad to hear that your ambulance ride went okay and you're feeling better. And good luck this winter if you get back out hunting or if you do some fishing. Let's make sure we do some ice fishing this winter, Jamie.
Sounds good. That's the plan.
All right. Jamie Dittman there, Brainerd Lakes Area Fishing Guide. And Jamie, if somebody wants to go on a guided fishing trip with you, are you guiding in the winter or just in the summer?
No, we do winter. We don't do fish house rentals anymore, but we have otter portables we take people out in. Either we can take them out on snowmobile or with truck through different area lakes. And you can just call S&W Bait or look up S&W Guide Service on Facebook, and we'll get you out.
Very good, Jamie. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Coming up, we got Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods, and we'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters with a waterfowl migration update.
Your hands start shaking. Your heart gets to pumping. Your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you've never felt before. Have you coming back for more? But fever.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers! Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. On demand at sportingjournalradio.com or subscribable and podcastable in iTunes. I'm Brett Amundson, and every week, of course, we head up and get the Lake of the Woods Fishing Report with Joe Henry. And Joe joins us once again. Joe, how are things?
Things are wonderful. We're looking forward to some more ice, that's for sure.
You know, you guys can say that because you're in the, you know, you want to ice fish. I want a little bit more time of open water so I can shoot ducks and geese, Joe. Come on.
You know, the funny thing about it is, you know, it's interesting. You know, we all hope for this and we hope for that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, we have no say-so to Mother Nature.
Right. And I'll tell you what, everybody got so excited last week when things started freezing up and we were in South Dakota and we were walking across sloughs with 2 inches of ice on it that we wanted to We wanted it to duck on, and of course we couldn't. And then guys were fishing on different lakes, and we saw pictures from North Dakota and northern Minnesota of guys out fishing. And realistically, this time, it's for me personally, it's just too early, partly because I want to hunt yet, but I don't like early ice that much. I know the fishing can be good, but it's not worth it for me. And then we had some warmer temperatures and some strong winds. And I know a lot of the bodies of water that had some ice open back up and then they refroze. And especially if there's a little current, like out here where we got the Minnesota River system, we got a little bit of current. I don't know. That just makes me a little nervous, Joe.
It gets dicey. It does. And you know, when you have thin ice to begin with, you don't have much room for error. So if anything changes, you know, all of a sudden you're an ice that's too thin to walk on. And that's when things get hairy. And you know, you brought up a good point. There's warmer temps that we had last week. There's wind. Wind affects it. There's the currents. I mean, there's a lot of things that affect ice. You know, I'll tell you, up at Lake of the Woods right now, you know, we have our bays are iced over. And the Rainy River's got ice in some spots, some open water in other spots. And our main basin, you know, a big Traverse Bay, you know, we got some huge sheets of ice, a lot of ice out there, but there's also a lot of open water yet. And, you know, we watch it close. And, you know, we know that typically around December 10th is when, you know, our permanent fish houses will go out. Now, that's not an average year. It's gone later and it's gone much earlier. We have some resorts predicting December 1st this year that they could get their permanent houses out. And that's when they have 8 to 10 inches of ice. Now, that's just a prediction. You know, Mother Nature will determine it, and we're certainly going to watch it from day to day. But the biggest thing I stress, Brett, is, you know, work through a resort. Not because we want you to go through and pay them a $10 or $15 access fee or use their services of ice fishing. It's because of safety. They watch that ice. They know where the typical springs are, the currents are. They know where ice typically is good. They get out on that ice. They use a chainsaw. They have a chainsaw that's marked with inches on the bar. They walk these trails every single day, and they figure out where the good ice is, how it's coming along. In many cases, they'll flood areas and build the ice up in the areas that are going to be traveled and where they're going to mark their trail. You know, that's the other thing. You know, when they do say, okay, you can walk out, or you can use an ATV or snowmobile to come out at first, make sure you stay on the resort trails, the marked trails, because the marked trail is what they're monitoring and maintaining and checking every day. You could go a little ways off that trail, and it's anybody's guess how thick that ice is. You're taking a huge risk, and that's sometimes where people get themselves in trouble.
Talking with Joe Henry here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking Lake of the Woods specifically, but in general, when you talk about early ice and ice thickness here and there, there's so many variables. There's no such thing as safe ice, as they like to say. And last thing I want to do, Joe, is tell people not to go up there, not to go to these resorts and things. But I think you nailed it. If you want to go fish some of these places, and don't get me wrong, I'm chomping at the bit to go ice fishing, but you're right. Call and talk to the people that are out there every day.
That's it. Yep. And, you know, we're going to have a good long ice fishing season again. In fact, we think we'll get out early. And if we normally get out, you know, mid-December, December 10th or so, we're hoping we get out early December this year, maybe even sooner. We'll see. But, you know, the thing of it is, up at Lake of the Woods, our ice fishing, where you can have permanent fish houses out, goes all the way through March 31st. Our walleye season goes through April 14th. So it's an extended season anyway. You know, we're going to have plenty of time on that ice. Let's not push things and get ourselves in trouble. But that's where, to your point, lean on the experts, lean on the people who are out there doing it every day. Tell you what, they want to start earning revenue as quickly as they can too. But they also know that it has to be safety first, and that's their sustainability. And that's what people trust them for, is to keep them safe.
Well, and this goes both ways for you, Joe, I know. But right now, you know, down where I'm at in western Minnesota here, we don't have any snow on the ground, and we're making ice. So we're kind of hoping that if we are going to start making ice, the snow holds off so we can make some really good ice before we get any measurable snowfall.
There's a lot of, you know, like we talked about, Mother Nature will determine that. But, you know, there's a lot of wishes. The wish is it gets real cold and calm at the same time, because that way we're not going to have rough ice. It's going to be nice, smooth ice. I mean, you know, we hope there's no snow, because, of course, snow insulates ice and it takes longer to freeze. And, you know, once we get that thin ice, we hope there's no wind that will start blocking it up. And, I mean, time will tell. But, you know, it's one of the things people don't realize, man. You know, up at Lake of the Woods, there's some absolute ice warriors out there working that ice every day. And the stuff that goes on behind the scenes to make it comfortable for people coming up. You know, give an example. I think it was last year we had a couple of miles of jagged ice going out from the south end. And it's because, you know, the wind blew from the north and blew thin sheets of ice on top of each other, buckling it up. So that froze that way. So, you know, what they had to do is for hours and hours and hours, in some cases they had to chop down ice. In other cases, they took great big heavy steel graders, grits, and drove them back and forth, shaving that ice road down and making it as smooth as they could for customers. And, you know, once we got some snow, that helped fill in the gaps. But my point is there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to make ice fishing comfortable for people visiting Lake of the Woods.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Talked about measurable snowfall and not having it here. It sounds like there's a couple inches in northern Minnesota, but you want a little bit of snow, at least for your snowmobile trails, Joe.
Yeah, we know, and that there again, what's really kind of interesting is, the different parts of the Midwest, when we get a little bit of a warm up, you know, oftentimes up at Lake of the Woods, just because we're that further north, we don't get that warm up necessarily like they do. And consequently, our snow sticks. So we do have very good snowmobiling. And, you know, most people come up to Lake of the Woods for the ice fishing. What they don't realize is we have over 500 miles of groomed, staked trails that are on land, they're across the lake, they're up at the northwest angle, they're all over the place. And it really can be a fun trip to come up there and do some snowmobiling. I know some people that'll come up and they'll get a sleeper fish house and base their snowmobiling trip out of a sleeper fish house. Heck, they can drive their truck and their trailers in some cases right to the front door, easy unloading, easy loading up, and then you got access to trails all over the place.
Well, I want to do a snowmobile trip up there, Joe. I want to take Prairie Sportsman with me and put it on TV, and then maybe go do some ice fishing up at the northwest angle.
That would be a cool trip. You know, there's some really cool trails. You know, from the south end heading up to the angle, there's a snowmobile trail that goes straight north, and it's groomed, staked, you know, the whole ball of wax. And then you get up there, and of course, you got a bunch of resorts that cater to ice anglers and snowmobiles up at the angle, and it's the culture. In fact, you know, we got the snow drifters on the south end of the lake, a snowmobile club, and in the northwest angle, edge riders up at the north end, and they're already rolling. They're coordinating. They're having their kickoff meetings, and you know they take good care of those trails. You know, it's fun because you got the trails on the lake, Brent, but also you got a bunch of land trails up in that northwest angle. I mean, this is prime time, beautiful scenery. You may not see none of the snowmobile all day.
So are they ice fishing up at the angle now?
No, they're not. There are a few locals that are using snow machines or snowmobiles to go across the ice in areas that they know, you know, it's good. But no, there's no real ice fishing going on right now. There's a lot of ice up there. There are some current areas with open water yet. So again, they're monitoring the ice up there and making sure that it's safe before they get houses out.
All right. And but ice fishing, so we were talking a little bit off the air, ice fishing up there, there's a lot of opportunities to do some different types of ice fishing.
Yeah, there is. You know, so especially at the northwest angle, you know, it's interesting. On the south end, a big Traverse Bay, you're going to get your combination of walleyes and saugers. You get a good population of saugers down there. When you get up to the northwest angle, it shifts to a much higher percentage of walleyes over saugers. You'll get some saugers, but you're going to get, you know, mainly walleyes up there. And that's kind of a neat opportunity. It's where the Canadian Shield begins. There's more structure. It's just kind of the way it rolls. Now, in addition to that, it's kind of neat is, you know, and they have the day houses and the sleeper houses up there through the northwest angle resorts. Some of the resorts will actually guide anglers, ice anglers, into the Ontario side of Lake of the Woods, going after those big black crappies. And I'll tell you, you're going to want to have a guide and know what you're doing, because when you get up amongst the 14,552 islands, there are a lot of areas that are neck down areas. And of course, Lake of the Woods has some current going through, and that's where the thin ice areas are. So you need to know what you're doing and where to go to save yourself time to find those crappies. But they'll take you out there and catch those big black crappies. I'm talking crappies that are 12 to, in some cases, 17 inches. Oh, I mean, 17 is a, you know, they might get a few of those though for the whole winter, but you know, 12 to 15 are pretty darn common.
Well, whether it's ice fishing at the angle, snowmobiling anywhere up there around Lake of the Woods, or just getting out in a sleeper house at any of the resorts, or just doing some ice fishing at Lake of the Woods, if people want to find out more, where do they go, Joe?
Yeah, check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right. Thank you very much. Coming up before the end of the show here, we'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty to get a waterfowl migration update. Maybe the most mallards we've ever seen, at least since we've been around. We'll find out more next on Sporting Journal Radio.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're going in the truck with Tony Crotty here from Mid-Migration Outfitters on Sporting Journal Radio. Actually, in the truck right now. Just got done. Look at the bald eagles in the trees right there. Just got done doing some goose hunting. We had a father-son out this morning, and we had kind of an interesting setup for the goose hunt this morning, Tony.
Yeah, so we hunted a stubble cornfield, but it was pretty short, and there was a center pivot from an irrigator in the middle of the field, so we set up the panel blinds around the center pivot and put the decoys around us and worked the geese into the center pivot of the field.
So some people that I talk to, I'll mention, you know, panel blinds. Hey, we're going to hunt out of a panel blind, and they kind of cock their head a little bit. They're like, panel blind? What the heck is that? Explain to people what a panel blind is.
Well, it's basically kind of like it sounds. It's just a panel that we usually grass up with whatever stubble or material we have in the field. And then, you know, basically it sits up at an angle, kind of like an A-frame style. We put that up, butted it right up to the pivot, and you sit behind it, and it hides you. You can sit on chairs, kind of a little more comfortable. And, you know, for fields that you don't have cover in, they work pretty well as long as you can find either an area to put it to hide or a field edge.
Yeah, I have seen some guys actually stick it right out in the middle of a field, and it's pretty bold, and I have seen it work at times, but it's kind of tough. It looks a little out of place when you do that, but you can also put it along edges, and not only does it give you a chance to hide where you may not normally be able to hide, say, layout blinds or something like that, but it also gives you a different look than, say, layout blinds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, layout blinds, you're usually trying to work geese or ducks into the boot bags, and, you know, you kind of want them centered up right in front. So when you're on panel blinds, it's usually a little different style of shooting. You're either shooting them, you know, out in front a ways, say 20 yards or something when they're landing, or say a crossing shot or a sliding shot. It's a little different, but we like to do it, especially when we have, you know, guys that don't like hunting out of layout blinds, or, you know, when we can't hunt in the middle of a field, we'll usually use one.
We're in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters. They offer guided hunts in western Minnesota out in that Lac qui Parle area. And Tony, right now, the Lac qui Parle Refuge, this week at least, has been pretty exciting.
Yeah, the refuge has kind of exploded. Last I heard, we had right around 90,000 ducks or so, and I think we're probably up around that 40,000-50,000 mark for geese. So, and I think that's building daily. We're seeing birds kind of trickling in all the time, so it's good. It feels like the old days again, and we got birds around, and it can be kind of chaotic from time to time when we're out hunting, but I'd rather have it than that, than no birds in the air.
For sure, and we got a week left of the duck season, and boy, with all these ducks around, should be pretty good. I know we've got clients, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe early this week. Do we have openings? I haven't looked at the calendar. I'm not quite sure what it looks like.
Yeah, we're pretty steady next weekend, and we do have a little bit of availability for early in the week, I believe, but we just had a group call that might want to come out, so we might be busy. We don't know yet.
Well, geese will be around, and of course, the goose season stays open later, so if you're looking for maybe a late season goose hunt, maybe we can work something out, because like you said, Tony, this is a lot of birds around, and we've talked about it a number of times on the radio show, how many mallards have been around this year and how many mallards have been around last year, and we think it's probably because of the conditions being so dry in the Dakotas right now. Of course, they got plenty of birds, but it seems like maybe there's been a shift to mallards over here to Minnesota. I don't know, but when's the last time you saw this many mallards around here?
You know, realistically, I don't think I've ever seen 90,000 mallards on the refuge. You know, there's been a lot of times that we've seen 40, 50,000, stuff like that, and that's usually... you know, that's usually a lot. So for us to have this many mallards, it's kind of out of the ordinary. But I think a lot has to do with, you know, Canada and northern Minnesota and, you know, northern North Dakota freezing up and a lot of water freezing, and it's pushing a lot of these birds down and concentrating them on the, you know, in the general area. So without open water, they got to find, you know, places to go, and Lac Parle is open right now. So I'd say we're kind of in the mix of the better part of the hunting right now.
It is insane to watch all these mallards. I mean, that hunting mallards, and we've been able to hunt them in fields, which, you know, I remember the first time I hunted with you down here 5 years ago or whatever it was, talking about field hunting mallards here in Minnesota. It just was fairly non-existent. I mean, you got to do it a little bit, especially later in the year. But Tony, how many times have we hunted out of the boats this year? Once?
Yeah, once, twice, maybe. Twice. I think, yeah, twice. We chased divers around a couple of times, and you know, and then that's usually for guys that are specifically looking to shoot them. Other than that, we've been kind of in flooded stuff or ponds, or, you know, ever since the freeze up happened, we've kind of been hunting ducks in the field. So it's been a pretty good year for mallards around here, that's for sure.
Fun to watch them spiral down in those, you know, mallard tornadoes, and it's something that, you know, I've hunted in the Dakotas before, North Dakota, and you think about North Dakota duck hunting, that's what I always pictured, those mallards spiraling down. So to get to see it here in Minnesota, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has been a ton of fun. That's one of the things that's hard to beat, seeing a tornado of mallards coming down and letting them work and letting them spin, and especially in that sunshine, and you can see all them green heads sticking out. It's hard to beat.
Now, this is one thing, though, that I will say about hunting. We've got a lot of birds around right now, but we had this early cold weather this year. It's cold, and what happens, Tony, when it gets cold, birds become a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, they really do, and we've been kind of falling victim to that quite a bit. You know, you scout them, you try and pattern them, but their feeding patterns and when they fly changes daily, you know, especially when the weather is up and down. If we had consistent, steady weather, then they'd be patternable, but, you know, one day it's 40 degrees, the next day it's 20 and windy, and the next day we got rain and fog. And so, I mean, it makes things tough, but that's just part of the game, and that's why we love to do it.
We're in the truck with Tony Crotty here from Mid-Migration Outfitters on Sporting Journal Radio, and we're actually recording this on Thursday, and we had a hunt this morning, a father-son hunt. We hunted on that pivot out of the panel blind, but it was a perfect example of when you talk about birds being unpredictable and unpatternable this time of year. You know, early in the season, the geese will get up, they'll stretch their wings, they'll go out to feed in the morning, they'll come back to their roost or maybe do a loafing spot for the day, go back out to feed in the evening, and then go back to the roost at night. Well, these birds that we hunted today, that you scouted yesterday, had a little bit of a different feeding pattern.
Yeah, they're kind of sitting on a little iced up pond, keeping the hole open, and they're flying out to a cornfield within a mile of where the pond was at. So that's where we set up today, and we kind of had the perfect wind for it when, you know, it comes to shooting directions, so we wouldn't be scaring the birds. And they came off, and we had some decoy, and we shot some birds, but the rest of them went out, and, you know, we kind of waited around for them to fly back after feeding, and it was almost lunchtime, you know, noon, when we finally got out of the field. We still hadn't seen another bird move yet, so they're feeding all day is what I would assume, and that's just what they do sometimes this year.
And that can be kind of a long, cold morning this time of year, too. So that's the way it goes. And sometimes when you wait it out, it can be some of the best hunting you'll have. And sometimes you may not see them again. And that's just the way hunting goes. And you can have a field full of mallards, too, sometimes. And I remember we both got an invite last week saying, hey, I got a field loaded with mallards. And we've been hunting mallards for a couple of days leading up to that. And it was an afternoon flight. And we're like, yeah, I don't think it's even worth it going out there in the morning.
Right, yeah, and I mean, that all varies with temperature, and, you know, if it's cold in the morning and it's going to warm up in the afternoon, you know, the theory is that the birds are going to hang tight on the water to keep their water safe. You know, as long as they're in it moving around and they got their body warmth in that water that they have open and there's ice around it, they can keep it open. So a lot of times they'll wait until the warmest part of the day, which is usually the afternoon. So a lot of times you won't see birds trickle out in the morning like you normally would, so that's kind of where, you know, that idea comes in, and, you know, this time of year, that's why we hunt a lot of afternoons.
We're in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid Migration Outfitters here on Sporting Journal Radio. Just a couple of minutes left here, Tony. This time of year, it can get so good, even with the early cold weather, as long as we got a big body of water like Lac Par Lake, birds will stick around as long as they can get to the, you know, the food isn't covered up with snow. As long as they can eat and they got water, they'll stick around. And when that happens, like we're seeing right now, it's going to be the best time of the year. We got 1 week left of ducks. This was why we're always pushing for a longer duck season in Minnesota.
Correct. Yeah, and the way the things are looking right now with the long-term forecast, odds are we'll probably have ducks long after the season's closed down. So it would be nice, you know, if they extended the season another 10, 15 days or whatever it may be. We'll take anything at this point in time. But it would be nice to have, and it happens every year. Even if we do freeze up, there's always mallards that stay around. You know, they sit on the river or whatever it may be. If they have open water and food, they'll stick around.
Well, word I'm hearing is that we might see a longer duck season next year here in Minnesota. Hopefully that happens. You know, I think we've got the birds to do it. And maybe even an increased bag limit for Canada geese. And, you know, that makes us start looking to next year. So maybe some changes for next year. And then, of course, early next year, one change for us, Tony, Missouri in February.
Yep, yeah, we'll be going down to Missouri this year instead of Nebraska. Nothing against Nebraska. They have a great state for hunting and everything like that, but their licensing is a little out of, you know, out of touch when it comes to non-residents, so that's why we're switching over to Missouri this year. And plus, we got a whole lot more land to work with in Missouri. It's a big state and a huge flyway for snow geese, so we'll be down there late January, early February, and we'll be chasing after them.
And a couple of spreads this year, so we're going to be able to take some more people with us wherever we go. So if you want to book a snow goose hunt for Missouri, we'll be down there, what, for the first couple of weeks of February?
Yeah, we'll be down there early February, running through somewhere around about the 20th of February, and then we'll come back, and then we hop back into South Dakota right around the beginning of March and go through April.
So Canada geese or snow geese, Tony? What's your favorite?
You already know the answer to that one. It's snow geese, 100%.
Because I think you used to be a Canada goose guy, but those snow geese, man, there's something about seeing a flock of a thousand. It's almost like watching these swarms of mallards spin down on top of you. It's kind of what you get with snows, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're just, not taking anything away from shooting ducks or shooting geese, and there's always something to learn no matter what you're doing, and that's definitely something you should live by, in my opinion. But with snow geese, it just seems like right when you think that you might have them kind of figured out, then they throw a curveball at you. So it's just kind of one of them things where it's hard to walk away from.
Well, we're not that far away from the snow goose season. It's coming quick. Tony, if someone wants to book a hunt, what do they need to do?
They can give me a call on my cell phone, or just go to our website, shoot me an email, or contact us on Facebook.
InMigrationOutfitters.com. Tony, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit SportingJournalRadio.com.